God is good. Not just summertime, but God is good all of the time. And all of the time, God is good. And thank God for a new day. Amen. We've never seen this one, you all, and we'll never see it again. Mm-hmm. But God has blessed us through his grace, his mercy, allowed us to be alive among the living this another day. And we should be eternally thankful to God for this opportunity to come together and worship him in spirit and in truth. Amen.
Amen.
And to those who are visiting with us, not members of the Church of Christ, you are the very honored guest of the audience. You are VIPs. And that is, you're a very important person to us because we want you to be saved. Amen. We believe those that are saved are in the church that you can read about in the Bible, and that's the Church of Christ. Amen. We believe those that are saved will have to hear the gospel story of the cross, how Jesus suffered, bled, and died, and they'd have to be upon believing that, must repent of their sins, must confess him before a man to be, he is the Son of God, and that confession must be done with their mouth. And then that individual must be washed in blood, in water and blood, and that's baptism. And then, only then, can you be saved, where the Lord then adds you to the true church, the only church, the wife, the bride of Christ, which is the Church of Christ, and that's what we believe in, the churches of Christ. Amen. That the Bible is right. The B-I-B-L-E is believer's instructions before life ends. This book will not help anyone who do not believe in it. It only helps those who believe. That's what the B means, believe, and that's, I'm putting that there. Believe. It's a believer's book. It warns the unbeliever, though, if they read it, and the unbeliever don't believe, there's a damnation to the unbeliever. And so we believe, amen. That's why what you experience this morning is a New Testament pattern of worship. As we read of in 2 Thessalonians 2:14, 15, rather, we follow traditions of the word and epistle, whatever was done in the scripture. That's what we do in worship, which means we sing. And there's no help of mechanical instruments or music, because there was no instrumental music used in New Testament Christians in the first century. They had no mechanical instruments in worship. And then they took the Lord's Supper. And that was never done until after Jesus died on the cross. There was no old Lord's Supper taken under the old law, on the Old Testament. They didn't worship like we do. There were no Christians under the Old Testament law. The Christians became Christians first in Antioch, but they had to hear the gospel story, which means Jesus' death had to be preached. And then upon that, there was a memorial service required by every Christian. And that's not a first Sunday event. That's every Sunday. So if you're in a church where you're not drinking communion every Sunday, you're not saved. Jesus said in John 6:53, except the man eat of the flesh of the Son of Man, you have no life in him. You cannot live a Christian life and not be in communion. Amen. Every week. And that applies to members of the Church of Christ, too, who forsake the assembly. You're out of fellowship. Amen. You need to repent and come back to the Lord and stay in communion with him. Communication through fellowship, through communion. Then we give. We don't tithe in the New Testament pattern. There was no tithing, no 10% plus. You give as you prosper, not grudgingly or of necessity, but God loves a cheerful giver. So the plate goes around one time at Holland Heights here at this worship service, because we're not begging for folk money. We're trying to get you to go to heaven. Amen. Those who want to go to heaven will do it the way the Bible said do it. That's all it is to it. Mm-hmm. Amen. People who are trying to get to heaven, they don't play with God or play with the word of God with no feelings and guessing. You do what God said do, and you'll get to heaven. Don't do what God said do, you won't get to heaven. Bottom line. Amen. So that's why we give. Amen. Then I'm going to preach from the word of God, and I have a reading audience that reads for me, to ensure that we read from the scripture. Amen. The scripture, the Bible is right. Mm-hmm. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So we believe that. That's what we believe in the churches of Christ. I always do that in my opening so you'll know. I don't want you leaving and you visit one and you leave God. Was he trying to say to save the M1 church? Yes. Was he trying to say this? Do you take the Lord's Supper every Sunday? Yes. Was he trying to say, I'm not saved, have been baptized? Yes. Was he trying to say there's no modern-day denominational church in this Bible? Yes. Not a Baptist church in there. Good people. All my family were Baptist, but it ain't in the Bible. That ain't our fault that it ain't in the Bible. It's our fault that we didn't read the Bible. That's the fault. The fault ain't in the book. The fault is in us. So I'm talking about my family. And I have the right to talk about my family, but that's what it was. That's what we were. We were Baptist, not because we read about it, because that's what grandmama was. One lady told a story one time about her and, cooking. Yeah, she was the husband of the wife. He's a hard-working man. He come home every time he got a woman, his wife cutting the ends of the roast off and throwing it away, just throwing it away. And man, he come and say, "Baby, hold on now. Hard as I work to buy that roast, you just throwing away meat." She said, "Why are you doing this?" He said, "Mama did it. Mama threw it away. That's the way Mama did it." He said, "Well, we don't want to say, I don't know why she did it, but let's ask Mama." She said, "Mama said, I did it because my Mama did it." And she just went back and said, "Well, Oliver, let's go to Grandma and ask her. Let's get to the one who started all this tradition. Amen. Let's start it." And so he went to Grandma and said, "Grandma, we got a question. Why is it that you throw away that meat, you cut that meat off and before you cooked it?" And she said, "Well, my pan was too short." See, they cutting off meat. See, they got a long pan. They just following tradition. Amen. Many of us in Baptist church, Methodist church, Catholic church, because that's traditional. It wasn't in the scripture. If we're going to follow tradition, let's do it. Get 2 Thessalonians 2:15. Let's do it this way. Here's how you follow a tradition. Jesus said in Matthew 15:8, "These people draw nigh to me with their mouth, honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain they worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men." Then in Mark 7:7, he said, "Howbeit, in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, they hold to their traditions." So when you hold to the tradition of grandmother and lay aside this, that's a problem. But the Bible says in 2 Thessalonians 2:15, the book says what?
Therefore, stand fast.
Stand fast.
And hold the traditions which you have been
taught.
Now,
here's the tradition you have. This is the tradition you hold to. The tradition that you have what?
Been taught. Whether by word.
Word.
Or our epistle.
So the apostle saying, your tradition you follow is what you've been taught by word or epistle. Epistle is a letter written by the apostles. The apostles wrote the doctrine of Christ. They wrote to these different congregations in Rome and Corinth, Ephesus, Galatians, and all these different congregations got letters and epistles written. You follow what Christ taught and not what a man taught. And so that's why you got modern day denomination of truth.
Amen.
So that's a little bit of blip on that. Amen. And so we're studying from the book of John. Amen. I mean, I've developed a new habit. I was here at 8:30 this morning. I'm just proud of myself. As I can be. I was in my pew at 9, and I told them back there, get my headphone, because my goal is to be on the pew before 9 o'clock. And when they start singing, I was sitting there proud, just happy about myself. I'm just as happy as I can be. I'm just happy. I'm sleepy, but I'm happy, because I had to get up earlier to get on time. How many of y'all working on being better? I want to give God my best while I got a few. We ain't going to live long, y'all. Y'all might as well get ready to get on out of here. You ain't going to be here long. You know that, right? We ain't going to be here long. Life is short. Life is real short. Life is real short. Life is real short. I want to say something. I want to be able to say I gave God my best. I do want to be able to say that. I want to be able to say what makes me different from the man on the street is that I tried. Yeah, that's what I want to say. I tried. Did you? Yeah, I tried to be good. I tried to live right. I tried to follow the terms. I know what I got to do when I mess up. Amen. I'm in the building every Sunday. I'm trying. And the person who lay around and don't try, they can't say that. Now they say, some people say they trying and they lying the whole time. They ain't trying. You ain't trying to be on time. You could be on time. You do it every day, every week on your job. You can be on time for worship. You ain't trying. Quit lying. Yeah, so when you try, you can do it, can't y'all? Say amen if you can. Yeah, good day. It's going to be a good day. We're going to be here all day anyway. We got fellowship today, and all the great things are going to be happening. And so we're good to have. Hopefully you'll stay around and be with us today. John chapter 14. We're studying the book of John. It's been a great study so far. And chapter 14 is where we are now. This is one of the chapter 14 on through the end. Some great studies. And John 14, verse 1, Jesus said what?
This is a very important, very comforting
text. Let not your heart be troubled.
You believe in God.
You believe in God.
Believe also in me.
In my Father's house
are many mansions.
Many mansions.
If it were not so, I would have told you. Yeah. I go to prepare a place for you.
Yeah, you go. Real.
And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again.
He's talking to them. They know he's leaving. They're sorrowed at heart because he's told them, my life is ending. They pretty much get in the picture. Something's getting ready. Terrible if it's going to happen. He just had his last supper. He's a death row inmate. Who he is really? He's had his last supper. His last confident words to the apostles here. I'm going somewhere, and I'm going to prepare the place for you. And I'm going to come again and receive you unto myself.
And that where I am, there you may be also.
He said, then he said, where I go, you know.
You know. And the way you know.
Then so Thomas then asked a question.
Lord, we know not whither thou goest. And how can we know the way?
So how can we know the way? Then Jesus comes with the profound statement.
I am the way.
We stopped last week. He said, now, I am the way.
The truth.
I am the way. I am the way, the truth.
And the life.
I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. Without Jesus, there is no way to heaven. There is no truth. And there is no eternal life. He's making it real clear. And then he said, no man.
Coming unto the Father, but by me.
That's the point where I'm picking up at. This piece is the title of my sermon. No man. No man means no man. No man is going to go to the Father but by Jesus. Amen. Peter said, neither there salvation in any other. Mm-hmm. Acts 4:12. Neither there salvation in any other. For there is no other name. Under. Buddha won't get you to heaven. Muhammad won't get you there. Amen. Allah. Wrong name. Wrong name. Understand this. There is no other name under heaven. For God has highly exalted him. Philippians 2. And given him a name that's above every name. You don't want to die not wearing Christian. Because in Christian is Christ. And no one who is not a Christian can go to heaven. Amen. Are you a Christian? Because there's salvation in no other name. Jesus is the only way to heaven. He's the only truth as for those who are designed to go to heaven. And he is the only one that can give eternal life to those who believe. Mm-hmm. Now, understand this. He makes a profound statement. And he said, no one, not the Pope, not Reverend John down the street. Amen. No. Now, Brother Brooke, no man can come to God, the Father, but through Jesus. Amen. It makes sense? Mm-hmm. Now, this is a profound statement. Mm-hmm. So, why is this a fact? And why did he make such a profound statement? In verse 7, he said, if you had known me,
you should have known my Father also.
You should have known my Father also. And from henceforth,
ye know him.
You know him.
And have seen him.
And have seen him. Now, what Jesus said, when you saw me, you saw the Father. Mm-hmm. Now, Jehovah's Witnesses got a real problem with this. Amen. I said the Jehovah's Witnesses have a real problem with this statement. Because they don't see Jesus as God. And I warn the listeners, and I warn you, and the internet audience who listen to me, the Jehovah Witnesses, man-made doctrine that's anti-Christ. I said it, Brother Brooks, 1005 West Little York. It's false doctrine. And men and women who follow Jehovah and leave the Son out are anti-Christ. Right. To believe in the Father is to believe in Jesus. Amen. To believe in Jesus is to believe in the Father. Why? They are one. Get for me, John 1:1. And the Bible says in John 1:1, in the beginning
was the Word.
Was the Word.
And the Word
was
with God.
And the Word was with God.
And the Word, and the word was God.
Was God. Read.
The same was in the beginning with God.
The beginning with God. This really says, all things
were made by
were
him.
Were made, creation, were made by this individual he's getting ready to talk about. This him is the Word. This him was God. This him was the creator. In him was life. And he was the light of men, verse number 4. So who is this him? John, verse 14, drop down there. Verse 14, and the Word
was made flesh.
Was made flesh.
And dwelt among us.
And we beheld his glory. He's right here with us. Right here with us. And we beheld, we saw the glory.
The glory of the only begotten. Of the Father.
Of the Father.
Full of grace and truth.
Of grace and truth. Who is this him? Who is he? John is saying Jesus the Christ was there with God in the beginning. When God said, let us make. When God created the world, Jesus was with him. There's one God. So the Jehovah Witnesses is a Father, Son, and Holy Ghost that makes up one God. You can't have one without the other. They need to be warned with that world, New World's Translation. Come from the Watchtower Society. Don't take the tracts. Reject them. 2 John verse 9, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ hath both the Father and the Son. If any man come unto you and bring not this doctrine, he said, don't forbid him Godspeed. You tell him to get out of your house. You say, well, Brother Brooks, I just can't do that. Well, then that's you. But I'm telling what God say do. And I'm telling every one of us who understand, when they come, don't take their pamphlet. You give them a Church of Christ pamphlet. That'll run them away every time. They're going to run from Christ because they're antichrist. Don't let them fool you. Don't let them fool you. Ain't no 144,000. John said there's a number that no man can number. Talking about 144,000. Amen. Walls. That's just false doctrine. That's what it is. I'm back to the Bible. But he said the conclusion was that he was in the beginning with God. And John said in 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 7. Listen what the Bible said in 1 John 5 and verse 7. Listen to it now. He said, there are three that bear record in heaven. Watch it. The Father.
The Word.
In the beginning was the Word. There he is again.
And the Holy
Father,
Ghost.
The Word and
the Holy Ghost.
The Holy Spirit. And these three are one.
One.
Hey, that's what it say. Ain't that what the Bible say? Well, he's talking about who is the Word? God. Jesus was the Word. In the beginning was the Word. And Word was with God. And Word was God. Amen. And he got those brothers who in the brotherhood teaching that Jesus wasn't God on earth. That's what they say. But that is not what the scriptures say. He was God with us. That's what Emmanuel means. And John just said, we beheld, we saw it. The only begotten of the Son of God. What they don't understand is there's a difference between the Son of Man and the Son of God. There was no Son of Man in the Old Testament referring to Jesus Christ. He had to come through the Virgin Mary before he was known as the Son of Man. He was God. There was no Jesus in the Old Testament. He was God. There was no Savior back there. Moses was an anti-type. He was a type of a Savior. He was pointing at the Savior to come. That's why Moses was just like Christ. Moses delivered the children of Israel from Egyptian bondage. But there came another one. Another one, Moses said, that's coming greater than me. He was Jesus Christ, who would deliver the people from the world, the bondage of sin, and deliver them into the option of going into the Church of Christ. From there, they could enter into eternal heaven, which would be they had to cross the Jordan River, which is death, before you can go to heaven. So God was in the beginning. You can't have one of them without the other one. And so everybody said, but how can three be in one? What's this concept of how humans are humans. You're human. I'm not. We're not God. You know, his concept and ours, his ways are, and our ways are far from the east to the west. His thoughts are not our thoughts. He's majesty. He's excellency in knowledge. So let me give it to you in a simple, plain way. Now, the only way I can kind of get it down to it helps me understand it. And all of us know what an egg is, don't you? I mean, y'all know what an egg is. That's three in one. It's got a yolk, a white, and what else? But it's still one. Oh, you missed it. You missed it. If you missed that, you're probably going to be all right. I mean, I'm just saying. I just don't think mentally retarded people are going to I just don't think mental people going to have a problem getting to heaven. I believe that. But the spoke in the insane inside of whom minds come and go, they can catch it coming if they miss it going. Yeah, they mind coming and go. But you can get an egg, can't you? Can you get ice cube? Ice cube, get one piece of ice, got three elements in it, solid, a vapor, and water. Just lay it out in some heat and see what happens. It turns to water. But it goes to vapor first. It was a solid, vapor, then water. So I broke it down to you what the children get. I bet the kids got it now. That's a three-in-one concept. That's the closest you're going to get to understanding what God is saying. Let's get back to the point. I'll whoop the Jehovah's Witness. They need a good whooping. No, they need the good whooping. Taz Russell, I guarantee you, he's tumbling right now. Charles Taz Russell started that group. You don't want to be antichrist and die like that. No, ain't no. Let me tell you something else. The world going to burn up. There ain't going to be nobody left down here. They talking about you going to be in a hall somewhere. Man, that's brick and mortar. Don't you know that stuff burn up? The Bible says the earth going to burn with fervent heat. You don't want to be on the earth when Jesus come back. Amen. He's coming back in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them. No, not God. And obey not the gospel of Jesus Christ. You better obey him before you die. You better obey him. Obey. This is hellfire preaching I'm doing, isn't it? Yeah. That what they call it? Maybe so. But Jesus says, if you know me, verse 7, you should have known who?
My Father also.
If you were paying attention to know him, his disciples don't still don't understand. Look what Philip asked. Philip said, Lord,
show us the Father.
He's standing right there. I just told y'all when you see me, he's in there. So Philip said, man, show us the Father. He's still wanting to see something.
And it suffices us.
Show us the Father, and I'm going to be happy. That'll be sufficient if you just let us see the Father. So he wanted to visually see something, to see Jesus, to see the Father. However, to see something with your eyes is not faith. Faith coming by hearing the word of God. So if they believe the words that came from his mouth, they would be men of faith. Mm-hmm. We believe words too. We don't believe in a Jesus that we ever saw. It amazes me how people can call themselves believers in Jesus, and they believe in him on the cross. But when you show them that he said, he that believeth and baptized shall be saved, they say this, I can't see that. No, you can't see that. Because that's your problem. You're trying to see it rather than believe. See what I'm saying? How you going to tell me you believe in Jesus, but you don't believe in the one church that's in the same book? If this book lying about Jesus being in Jerusalem in AD 33, if that's a lie, then where did you get your belief from? Well, I believe in Jesus, but I don't believe in the one church. But you don't believe in Jesus because it's the same source. That's like saying, I believe 1 + 1 = 2, but I don't believe 2 + 2 = 4. Really? I'm just saying. Ain't that what they say these days? I'm just. How can somebody say 2 + 2 = 4 is wrong if 1 + 1 = 2 and it came from the same book, right? Am I the only one that don't understand how we can miss that? How can somebody tell me that this book's wrong about the Church of Christ and it's in it? Tell me that, Q. How can they do it? And then say they are a believer in this book. No, you're a believer in Jesus based on your your thoughts about Jesus. There is a Jesus, because mama said there's a Jesus, and somebody else said there's a Jesus, but I don't believe the book that talks about Jesus. But ain't nobody proved the book wrong yet. The book keep people proving people wrong. And I'll use this book and prove anybody wrong. I'll prove the Baptist wrong, the Catholic wrong. I'll prove when the Church of Christ is wrong using the same book. We're not exempt. Let's say that right up front. So you visitors know. I'll whoop the Church of Christ with it too. Put me on a lectureship. You see me, right? Okay. Anyway, I didn't come in here because this thing's fake. I came because I believe it's right. I mean, either you believe it, right? Then we got the brethren today that are on the fence. You don't know what they believe. Man, line up with the scripture. Speak what the Bible speaks and be silent where the Bible is silent. Or get off the fence. And say you don't believe it no more. I'm talking to our brethren who done left the tradition of the fathers by word of epistle. And I put it on our website so y'all know. So that when people visit Houston, we don't have no modern day innovations in our worship. There will be no beatboxing. There will be no bass miking. There will be no multiple song leaders. There will be no praise dancing, no praise teams. Those are innovations. Those are not scriptural. And when people are visiting Houston, they need to know it's on our website, on our front page, from Brother Brooks. This is how we worship. If this is what you look for, you're welcome to come. But none of that other stuff will happen in our worship. Why? God is the judge. We going to give God the same respect we give Judge Judy. Decent and in order. We worship the God of heaven. You don't bring innovations into worship. You worship the way God told us to worship. That's what we're going to do in the Church of Christ. Now Brother Brooks going to stand right here. I'm going to be, this is the preacher you got. I ain't moved 34 years, and I told him that. Don't come telling me I'm dividing the church, because I have not changed. From the day I came in here, we were Church of Christ believers that believe that the Bible is right over mankind. The Bible is what has the final say in everything. Bible has authority. Speak where the Bible speaks. Be silent where the Bible is silent. Do things the Bible way. Use Bible terminology. Stay away from this other stuff. That's where I am. I ain't gone. I ain't moved. I'm not going to move until God move me. And this leadership, and I know it ain't the case, but if they were to decide, I'm not the kind of preacher. Bye. Because I'm not going to preach that stuff to please people. There you go. Amen. But I know this. I ain't got that kind of brothers here. I know the brothers are just, they believe just like I believe. That's a good thing about you. Just so y'all know, we are working. I got a good group of brothers working with me. And I got a bunch of people who love me. Amen. You know why they love me? Because I stand with the book. And those are the people who believe that the Bible has absolute authority. Not about Brother Brooks with a robe. I never wear a robe. I never be called reverend. I never be called father. I never have a specialized parking spot. Because I'm a brother like the rest of the people in the church. Amen. No big eyes, little chief priests and all that. No chiefs in the church. Jesus said, the greatest is the kingdom is a servant. Amen. All of us are servants from the back, from the pulpit to the back door. Amen. Serve them. I remember my brother, when our great servants was here, and Nene, her husband, Frank Bryan. Man, I just love it. Frank, y'all remember Frank was on the back door. I thought, now Frank had much pride in that back door as I do up here. But Frank was there. You know, Frank was there. I used to like that. Frank took, man, he was a doorkeeper. Like when you walked in here, he wanted some reverence. Y'all know what I'm talking about. That's the truth. Everybody should, the man who cleaned the toilets ought to have give as much respect as I get. I mean, don't give a preacher more respect than you do the man cleaning up. The janitorial should be as important in the church as I am. Amen. It's all about kingdom work.
Amen.
Preach, Brother Brooks. Thought I'd say amen to myself. I'm coming back. I'm coming back. Philip is hearing from the mouth of the word. Verse 9, he said, I have been, Jesus, come on, can kind of give him a gentle rebuke. Look at this in verse number 9. He says,
have I been so long time with you?
Yeah, how long I've been with y'all? And think about what he's saying.
And yet hast thou not known me,
You don't
Philip?
Know me yet? Philip. Now he asked him, you know how you say, I tell my kid, you say something to him, and you say, right now. right now, I used to say, right now, she's like, I ain't even whooped it yet. And then you saw some kid down there, Winky. Me and Winky had to go at it. TJ, we go at it. I still love all of them the same. Amen. But they know when daddy make a statement and call their name at the end. Huh? These jaws start flinching. That means that my hand just about to throw a whoop in the belt. And to this day, my children respect me. You want to know why? Huh? You want to know why? Because I spared not the. I didn't abuse them. I didn't beat them. But I did discipline them. And I used my belt. I didn't put them in a corner. Time out. I ain't read that nowhere in no Bible. I'm a time out. It's time out, all right. When you know, and then you think they're killing you when you're with, oh, you're killing me. I ain't killing you. And then the thing about my parents, them, they would make you sit down over there while they whoop the other one. And you sitting there, they shut up. After they get through beating you, they said, don't, what are you crying about? I'll wipe them till you get beat me. They don't want to know why I'm crying. And I never made no sense. They tell me to shut up after they done beat me. Tell me, shut up. Now I tried it. Try it up. I mean, y'all mama did that to y'all. Told you to dry it up. Man, tear running everywhere. Tell me, dry it up. Dry what up? You killing me. You remember last time? I forgot this one. They whoop you for stuff you did 2 weeks ago. I'm piled up. But anyway, Jesus kind of did doing Philip like that. He said, what's up with you, Philip? Philip, you forgot. And so now he's been with them 3 years. Philip, Philip has seen him walk on the water, calm the raging sea, heal a blind man with mud and spit, raise dead folk from Lazarus from the grave. He has seen all this. And Jesus saying, he that has seen me
has seen the
you
Father.
You've seen the Father. And you say to me, show
us
you.
The Father.
You saw me. Now you want me to show you something. You want me to show you. In John 20 and verse 30 and verse 31, the Bible said, many other signs truly did Jesus and the present of his disciples that are not written in this book. But these that are written that you might believe.
Now,
let
Jesus
me give y'all
the
quick one on miracles. Miracles are not happening today. Understand? TD, Jake, and, big ones like Benny the Hen. That's fake, y'all. That's no kind of faith building. Understand this? Understand? There are people out there, they're counterfeit. They're counterfeits. That those folk are making money on people. Miracles are not happening today. Somebody said, I went to the doctor, and, the doctor told my chest it's a miracle. There ain't no miracle. That's the answer to prayer. Miracles that somebody said, I went and I came out with a new heart. It's a miracle. No, you would have never got your chest split open if it had been a miracle. That's right. Somebody got a miracle. Ain't no miracles happening today. Ain't no dead folk getting up out the grave. Every time you want a child and bend it to him, take him to the graveyard. Why? Then there's no sign. So what he says, show me something. We believe that. We hear, faith coming by what? Hearing by the word of God. What we believe is what we hear. Notice what he said, believest thou not that I am
the Father.
And the Father in me. And the word that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself.
But the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works.
Believe me that?
I am the Father.
I am the Father.
And the Father in me.
Or else believe me
for the very work's sake.
And you got a choice. You can believe what I'm telling you. But these guys were with him. He said, y'all didn't see what I was doing? You didn't see none of the stuff I done? All of I did in front of him? He said, you can go off of my works, or you can just believe what I'm telling you. Notice what he says in verse 12.
Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also.
Now, notice what he says. If you believe on me, the works I do, you're going to do also. Notice what he says.
And greater works than these shall he do.
Now, he's saying, what I'm doing is great, but the person who believes in me is going to do greater works than what I'm doing. Because I go where?
Unto my Father.
This is why, remember, no man cometh to where? The Father but by me. He said, now you're going to do greater work because I'm gone. So the greater work occurs after he go to the Father. Mm. Okay, so what is, he said, whatsoever you ask in my name,
that will I
do. Here come the power. Because he got up from the grave with all authority had been given unto me in heaven and earth. Whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of Jesus. So the name of Christ became the name of authority after his ascension back into heaven with the Father. And in whatever you do, you shall ask that I would do. The Father may be glorified in
the Son.
If any shall ask anything in my name,
I will do it.
I'll do it. Then 1 John 5:7, John writes, verse 14, he writes, and he said, this is the confidence that we have in him. That if we ask anything according to his will, the Bible never contradicts it. So Jesus saying, if it's what he's saying, you ask in the will of God, the will of God, brothers and sisters, when we pray, it's not that we get what we ask for, but he give us according to his will. Amen. And this applies to us and applied to the apostles. Amen. So here's how I close. Let's deal with the greater works in closing. What is the greater works? Y'all remember in Acts chapter 1. Let's go over there real quick. And read real quick. Acts chapter 1. When Jesus died on the cross, they buried, he resurrected in the ascension. Here's Acts 1. Luke writes, verse 1, the former treatise
have I made.
Have I made, O Theophilus,
of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. Until the day in which he was taken up, after that, he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen.
All right. All this happened up to the day he was taken up with his ascension, going back to heaven, to whom he showed
himself alive after his passion.
Luke said he showed himself alive
after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days.
He spoke with them 40 days after.
And speaking of those things pertaining to the kingdom of God.
Of Christ being assembled together with them,
commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem. But wait for the promise of
the
Father,
which
said he
heard.
He have heard of me.
John,
truly baptized with
but
water.
But you're going to be baptized.
But ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost, not many days hence.
Drop down to verse 9. When he has spoken
these things, while they beheld,
they start looking.
He was taken up.
He's going back now. He's on his way back. Greater things getting ready to happen after he leaves. Remember he said, let not your heart be troubled. I believe in God. You believe in God. Believe also in me, my Father's house, of many. Man, so I'm going to prepare. So he's on his way back now to prepare. Now listen here. These are learning sermons. He's on his way back to prepare. He was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfast toward heaven, he went up.
Behold,
two men stood by them in white apparel. Notice what they asked.
Which also said,
you men of Galilee,
stand ye
gazing
up into heaven.
Why you gazing up in the air like, what is going on in heaven? He said, this is same to you,
which is taken up from you into heaven,
shall come
in like manner as ye have seen him.
He's coming back. Didn't he tell them, I'm going to go and prepare a place for you, and I'm going to come again? Then the angel said, what y'all looking? He told you he was going up there. He's gone now to prepare a place for you. He's coming again one day to receive you unto himself. He's coming back. And then in chapter 2, Peter will now start the greater works where he preached in Acts 2 and in verse 14. Peter standing up with the 11 lifted up his voice and said unto them, you men of Judea and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem,
be this known unto you and hearken to my words.
They thought they were drunk, but these men are not drunken as you suppose.
Seeing it is but the third hour of the day.
But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. This is prophecy, he said, getting ready to happen. And he said, he shall come to pass in the last days.
God will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh.
Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy.
Your young men shall see visions.
All this going to happen during the New Testament period.
And your old men
right
shall dream dreams.
Right up to the end of the New Testament. There was no New Testament until the apostles wrote it. And they used signs. They used miracles to prove who they were. That all happening ain't happening today because the Bible is finished.
That's it.
It started with a creation, ended with a warning. No, if any man add to the words of the prophets of this book, God would add unto plagues that are written in the book. And Peter's preaching now. No, drop down now, verse number 36. After he preached that death, burial, and resurrection, Peter says, therefore let all the house
also
of Israel
know assuredly
that God had made the same Jesus who
you have
killed,
crucified,
both Lord and Christ. When they heard this, when they heard what? That they had killed the Savior.
They were pricked in
their
hearts.
They were pricked in their heart and said
unto
Peter
and
to
the rest of
the
apostles,
men
and brethren,
what shall we
do?
Peter said, repent
and be baptized.
Be baptized. There's a new message. No one had to be baptized to be washed in the blood of the Lamb until the blood had been slain. The Lamb had to die. The Lamb had to shed blood. The Lamb had to be buried in the tomb. The Lamb got up with all power. The Lamb gave the command. The command was to go preach the gospel. That Mark 16:15, every creature, he that believeth and is baptized, shall be saved. It was the blood of Jesus. Revelation 1:5, it's the blood that was going to wash away sin. Before he died, there was no remission of sin. Hebrews 9:22, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. It took the blood of the Lamb of God for man's sins to be remitted. Those sins are forgiven in baptism. Let me make it real clear. If you have not been baptized, you have not been washed in the blood, and you are not saved. Jesus, Peter said, 1 Peter 3:21, he said, baptism does also now save us. Not the putting away the filth of the flesh, but the answer toward a good conscience. For God, baptism is not to wash dirt off of you. Baptism is where you contact the blood of Jesus, and the blood wash away every sin you ever committed, and the Lord give you the Holy Spirit. That's the third person in the Godhead. It's not Trinity. It's Godhead in the Bible. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And the Son, God, the Father sent the Son. The Son came and hung on the cross. When you get baptized, you get the third one, which is the dwelling of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit don't make you flop around and foam at the mouth and jump and shout and lose your wig. But don't do that. The Holy Spirit is intelligent. You have to have the Holy Spirit in order to pray. We call God don't pray like God don't talk like men talk. He said the Bible, Romans chapter 8, ain't got time. But the Holy Spirit, it makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered by man. If you doubt the Holy Spirit, you can't pray. That's why sinners can't pray. I know what Joel Osteen and them say, but let me just say them. That's not Bible. The Bible says in John 9:31, he said, this we know, God heareth not sinners. Doesn't matter what Billy Graham them say, God heareth not sinners. If you believe in the Bible, then you believe God here, not sinner. Why God here, not sinner? Because a sinner got to get washed in the blood. The sinner has to have his sins forgiven, and the sinner must receive the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit then relay the sinner, the righteous man. He becomes righteous after he's a sinner. He get baptized. He's the eyes of the Lord over the righteous, 1 Peter 3:12. When you get baptized, you go from sinner to righteous man. A righteous man do what's right. What's right? Do what God told you to do. Amen, somebody. That's what you do. And then if you want to be a righteous man this morning, you have to hear the gospel. You got to hear the gospel. You got to hear how Jesus suffered for you. I was teaching a girl yesterday, and she went back to Selena, Kansas today. I was baptized her yesterday. Cried like a baby. Just cried. That's what the gospel is supposed to do to you. But she couldn't help but cry. You couldn't help but cry to know God could love me and how his son would get beat, how he'd get battered. How he had to wear a crown of thorns. How they had put a cross on his back. How they would hang him on a hill, high, naked, up there with no clothes. And I hope the artist got it right. They put a little rag around him. That's what they drawed on the picture, with no blood, little thing on the head, a little white thing around him. That only y'all to know, he was beat so bad you couldn't recognize him. Isaiah 52 and the verse B, then whipped them stripes all over mud. The skin was pulled from his flesh all over him. He was beaten. That picture don't depict our Jesus. He was a beaten Savior. He was a lamb. He was a slain lamb. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter without his shears dumb. He opened not his mouth. Oh, don't believe these folk who put the picture up in you. You ought to take it down. And you got it right over your dinner table. So there with his head down like that, like ain't nothing happened. Just solemnly died in his sleep. No, he went through 6 hours of torture. Execution by crucifixion. And crucifixion was the most excruciating, painful event a man could go through. The word excruciating comes from crucifixion. He wasn't just dying in his sleep. Oh, Jesus loves you. No, Jesus took a beating for you. And you disrespectful. You are unappreciative and you are ungrateful. But when you are appreciative and you are grateful and you know you are not worthy for all the stuff we done wrong, why would God love us in our undone condition, in our nasty looking filthy people we are? We are sinful creatures. We are sinful. We are filthy creatures. But God was able to love us. He commended his love toward us that while we were filthy, while we were yet sinners, he would send his son. And I thank God he hung there for me. Because I know the way I've lived, ain't no way I could get to heaven without a Savior. I know I need the blood. I need to drink it three times a week. If he'd have commanded three times a week, I'd have been here every three times a week drinking it. Amen. Give me my blood, man. And what I'm trying to get y'all to say, you can't get to heaven unless you get washed in the blood at baptism. You're in the blood purchased church, that's the Church of Christ, and the blood drinking every Sunday. We're blood folk. Right. We're blood folk. That's what I say. We blood folk. We cross-eyed and bloody. We keep our eye on the cross and we drink the blood. Amen. We'll wash it. Y'all missed it. We cross-eyed and cross and bloody. Is that good? I mean, y'all like that good preaching like that. Amen. I like it. I like it. I like good preaching, don't you? Well, you ready to sing? Can I get y'all back to a state of mourning? Here's where you got to be when you're going to be saved. You got to look at your life and got to say, you know what? If God could love me like that, after all I've done wrong, certainly I can obey him. And God, all God wanted us to do is gospel preach. And I hope our preachers are listening. He just wants us to hang his son up on the cross. Let the people see him suffer. He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw men unto me. God never told us to make people shout down the aisle. They ought to be in tears. They ought to godly sorrow work and repentance. We ought to be sorry we messed up this week. We ought to be sorry we sinned against God. We ought to be sorry we're not in the Church of Christ. We ought to be sorry we haven't been baptized. And when you are sorry, you will see a Savior on the cross who went through all this for you, and you ought to prepare now to meet your God. Because he said, I'm going, but I'm coming again. You got to prepare to meet God by hearing this gospel story, by believing it with all of your heart, by repenting your sins, confessing Jesus to be the Son of God, and be baptized this morning, now. For the remission of the washing away or the forgiveness of your sins. You can get it today. The water's ready. The clothes are ready. But are you ready? But remember Jesus said, no man will come to the Father but by me, by my instructions.
That's it.
And he said he that believe it and heals, baptized, shall be saved. Not might be, but shall be. How many of you have been baptized for the remission of your sins? You said, brother, I got baptized, but I'm in the Baptist church. You just got wet. You can't be taught wrong and baptized right. You got to obey the truth.
That's it.
And do it the right way. Then go back and tell your mom and dad and sisters and brothers. Go tell your family. I found it. Found the way, the truth, and the life. Right. I found it all. Amen, somebody. And, you know, I'm prepared. I don't know about y'all, but I'm prepared to meet my God. How many of y'all are prepared to meet your God? Uh-huh. You, if you're here today and you're not a Christian, you ought to come prepare in baptism. If you are a Christian, you have sin. You ought to make a confession this morning. Say, brothers and sisters, I have sin. Amen. Prepare to meet your God. Then third person ought to come. Everybody know this. God can answer prayers. I know he answers prayers. I remember my granddaughter was, they told us she's going to have a heart transplant. We prayed, and I called that evening to a heart specialist, and just said, there ain't but one man that might be able to help you. And it was 5 o'clock in the evening. I made the phone call. Thought I was going to reach his office. When I made that phone call, the doctor answered. The surgeon answered. I said, I wasn't expecting. He said, sir, my name is Tommy Brooks. And my grandbaby, they said she's got to have heart transplant. They said, you sent a letter. Said, maybe something else you do. He said, I think I may be something else I can do. And he said, bring it up here. We packed our clothes. We packed our car and drove to Cleveland, Ohio. That was 9-1-1 happened that same weekend we was there. The 9-1-1 when the planes flew into the towers, we was in Cleveland, Ohio. And he said, well, I'm going to have to go in. He did an echocardiogram on her. And he went in and came back. He said, I think I see something. He said, I won't know until I get inside. Mm-hmm. And he got in there. He opened her up, split her chest. That's how I know it wasn't no miracle, because she still got she's back there now. She got a chest. She showed where she split her in the chest, split her wide open. It wasn't no miracle. But prayers had went up. I know
yes,
that.
Sir.
Prayers had went up, man. And then when he came back out. They went in the surgery, and he had looked at it, and he said, he went in there. He said, well, we found just a little tissue over a valve. We clipped it off. She's going to be all right. Huh?
Isn't that wonderful?
That's the answer to prayer, bro. That's what I'm saying. The righteous, we got power. You know, the other day, I went to another case with my wife. They told her, I had to have an aorta valve replacement. Doc said, well, you know, we're going to give some antibiotic for 6 weeks, and then we're going to reassess it. So they went in there and said, we need to look at it again, and went in there and did another echo. And me and Sharon sitting there, both of us anxious. She had been crying all the way to the surgeon. And we got there in there and sat in front of the surgeon. And then we ready for the news of that about the open heart surgery going to happen like soon. Because as the other doctor told us, she got to have it done now. And we sit down with the surgeon. He says, ma'am, I looked at the echo. I looked at the TE. He said, yeah. He said we noticed that the vegetation that was on your valve has shrunk. We don't see a need for open heart surgery
Amen.
At this time. We don't. Uh-uh. Y'all missed it, man. The Church of Christ were praying.
Amen.
Don't tell me power in prayer, man. I said, what'd you say? So he said, I don't see. Let's go ahead and go another 4 to 6 weeks. Ain't no danger in it now. That thing was flopping. They thought that thing was going to come off. And then it was flopping around. But he said, ain't no danger in it now. Let's just wait 4 or 6. We will take another look at it. And we'll make a decision after that. So we got four to six more weeks out of this deal and nothing else.
Amen.
You say, I see the will of God gonna be done no matter what. Even if they have to cut open, it was the will of God.
Amen.
I'm gonna be all right with that. Is that good? Yeah, but what I'm trying to say, the power is in prayer. That's what I'm trying to get us to see. The eyes of the Lord over the righteous and his ears are open to their prayers. No miracles. But the spiritual blessing for the Christian today is prayer power. Prayer power. Man, I love this. You ready to sing? Here's what I want y'all to do. I want everybody to sing. Now, I want to ask y'all a question. We just need to do this. This needs to be real understanding when it comes to saving souls. This is the greater work that Jesus was talking about. This is the greater work than what he did. The preaching of the gospel. 3,000 people obeyed after Peter preached.
Amen.
The greater work was the preaching of the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
It couldn't have happened until Jesus died. So that's why he said, greater works you're going to do. So I'm doing the greater work right now. So why would you get up and walk out doing the invitation? This is not the time to walk out. You walk out after God's invitation. Then you're on your own. But doing the invitation, it shouldn't be no walk unless you sit dying. Amen, Wall. Amen. Church of Christ people ought to be praying that people will come and obey the gospel. People who are not members of the church, you ought to, when you stand up, you ought to walk quick because God gave you this chance to get it right with him. And you can do it this morning. This is your opportunity to come. So those who are not members of the church, you should come, get baptized. Those who need prayer should come. And those who need a confession need to come as together we sing. What are you doing? Preparing to meet your God as together we stand and sing the song.